All right. Glad everybody's here tonight. Let's open up our Bibles, the book of Genesis. Don't worry, I'm not preaching out chapter 50. Not going to attempt that. And I like my job, so. Genesis chapter 13. God is worthy, isn't he? I love that song. I love the words in it. He's everything, we're nothing. We don't deserve to be alive, much less be here in church tonight and allowed to worship God. We're looking at Genesis chapter 13. We're going to begin reading in verse 5. It says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah like the land of Egypt, even as the garden of the Lord like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Tonight we're going to talk about the chapter that changed the story. The chapter that changed the story. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God, and I thank you for the opportunity we have to be in church tonight. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to get into your word and to hear a message from your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with me tonight, first of all. Lord, I'm nothing. God, I'm unworthy to be up here. I'm unworthy to be preaching your word. And I pray that you'd help me, Lord, be filled with your spirit. Help me not to say anything of myself. Lord, to say exactly what you'd have me to say. I pray that you bless everyone that's here tonight. I pray that you'd help everyone to put aside the thoughts of our minds, put aside the things that have been going on in our day, and Lord, to think of you and your word. Lord, to be able to concentrate, Lord, to meditate, Lord, on the truths that you've given us here in Genesis chapter 13. I pray that you bless us tonight and give us safety as we leave here. We ask this in your name. Amen. We are first introduced to Lot in the beginning of Genesis chapter 12, actually the end of Genesis chapter 11. He's mentioned from the beginning of the story of Abraham. Lot was the son of Abraham's brother Haran. Haran died at an early age, and Lot had a close relationship with Abraham from what we can see in Scripture and what we read here later on. When Haran, Abraham's brother, died, it seems that Lot was always with Abraham. When Terah, Abraham's father, Lot's grandfather, decided to move, he took Abraham and Lot and Abraham's wife, he took them all with him. Abraham, it was a blessed man, as we find early through the life of Abraham. In chapter 12, we see God's blessing come on Abraham. God reveals himself and he comes to him and he says, "Abraham, I want you to leave this country. I want you to leave the house of your father. And I want you to go to a place that I haven't told you about yet. I want you to go to a new place that I have for you." And he says, "I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your life. I'm going to bless everything that comes from your life. I'm going to bless them that bless you. I'm going to curse them that curse you. I am going to take care of you." And we see it right away in verse 4, Abraham left. Verse 4 of chapter 12. Abraham left the place of his father and departed to that unknown place, just started traveling until God told him where he was to stop. And the Bible says in verse 4 that when Abraham left, Lot went with him. It doesn't say that Abraham took Lot with him. It doesn't say that Lot was forced to go with him. The Bible says that Lot made a clear choice to go with Abraham. What an opportunity Lot had. What an opportunity to be with the most blessed man on the planet at that time, Abraham, and Lot was. There's no doubt that Abraham spoke of the promise that God had given him. There's no doubt that Abraham was excited about the future of what God had promised him. There's no doubt that he was talking about that with Lot, and that Lot knew much about it. In the story, we see that they travel and they get to the place of Canaan, and God reveals himself again to Abraham and tells him that is the land that he's going to have. And Abraham builds an altar. Lot was a witness of that, I'm sure. The Bible says after he built the altar, after he met with God, that they left the land of Canaan and headed to Egypt because there was famine in the land of Canaan. The Bible says they went there to sojourn there. That means they just went there to survive until the famine was over. We know this next part of the story is a fault in Abraham's life and a mistake that he made, not trusting God completely. But Abraham knew when they were going to Egypt that there were going to be men that thought his wife Sarah was very beautiful. He said, they're going to see you as a very fair woman, nice to look upon. And he said, I want you to lie to them. There's a chance that they would see you and want you for their wife and have me killed so they could have you. Tell them you're my sister. Sarah did what her husband had asked. And the Bible says that the princes of the Pharaoh saw that she was very beautiful. Pharaoh himself called for Sarah to come to his house. And from the story, we see that he was trying to do everything he could to make Sarah's brother, Abraham, very happy. He took good care of him for Sarah's sake. He was probably giving him gifts, showering him with presents, trying to keep him happy. And the Bible says not long while Sarah was in the house of Pharaoh, a great plague came upon Pharaoh and everyone in his house. They all became very sick. I don't know exactly what the plague was, but it was bad enough for Pharaoh to be very upset when he finds out that it was all because of Sarah. The Bible says that he were plagued because of Sarah. And Pharaoh found that out, and he approached Abraham and said, why did you lie to me? Why did you tell me that she was your sister? Why did you bring this upon me and my people? And Pharaoh, fearing God, the God of Abraham, let them go peaceably. Lot was a witness of that. I believe Lot was there with Abraham when that happened. Lot, from the things he had experienced so far in the story, knew that God was going to provide for Abraham. He knew that God was going to protect him as he did with that plague. He knew that God was going to bless him. He knew that God's hand was on Abraham. And Lot himself had everything he could ever need. If you look at the beginning of chapter 13 with me in verse 1, it says, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Look at verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Lot had everything that he could ever need. He had riches. He had cattle. He had the opportunity to be with Abram, the most blessed man on the planet. And because he was with Abraham, there's no doubt he knew that that was the reason he was where he was. He knew that because he was with Abraham, those blessings came upon him. I believe that he knew 100% sure, with certainty, that that was why he was blessed. And if we were to stop right there, I think that if nobody had heard this sermon before, if we were just reading the story of Lot for the first time, that many of us would have just assumed that the rest of the story would be very pleasant for Lot and his family. Everything to this point had worked out very well for him. Everything to this point had the story was turning into a very nice one for Lot. He was blessed. Most of us, if not all of us in here tonight, are blessed as well. We're saved. We're in a church where we can worship God freely that preaches the Bible. We have the joy that God has given us from the Christian life. We have things. God has provided for us. We have a roof to live under. We have food to eat. We're blessed. Lot had everything going for him. And as I said before, if we were just to stop the story right there, most people never hearing it would just assume that things were going to work out very well for Lot and there would be a happy ending to this story. I want us to forget chapter 13 for a moment. I want us to skip it. Those 13 verses that we haven't gotten into. And just go to chapter 14. We find Lot having a blessed life at the beginning of the story,
And immediately in chapter 14, we see a downward spiral in Lot's life. If you look at the middle of chapter 14, if you look at verse 12, it says, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." We find Lot in the land of Canaan with Abraham. They had just left Egypt. God had just delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh. To one chapter later, he was living in Sodom. The Bible tells us here in chapter 14 that war came. Men from around the country, there some kings had gathered together, and they had gathered together to take over the kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, and some of the cities there with them in the plain. And they went and they conquered those cities. They took their belongings, they took their wealth, they took their cattle. They took Lot as well because he was in Sodom. Abraham heard the news. And Abraham took 318 of his own men and went and rescued Lot. We're not going to cover the rest of that part of the story for time's sake. But Abraham came to the rescue for Lot as Lot was already living inside the gates of Sodom. I find it crazy here in this passage that we do not find any repentance on Lot's part. We don't find him saying, "You know what? I probably shouldn't be here in this situation. If I would have stayed outside of Sodom, this might not have happened to me." We do not find Lot saying any of that. For all we know, he went directly back into Sodom. He got all his things back and went to live the way he was living before. He didn't heed to the warning. The final eruption of Mount St. Helens was in May of 1980. And they knew, the scientists knew, that there was going to be something very bad coming. They knew from the explosive activity there in the volcano. They knew from the earthquakes that had been happening. They knew from the different tools and instruments that they had that something really bad was going to happen. There was this man by the name of Harry Randall Truman. He was 83 years old. He was the owner and caretaker of an inn there in Mount St. Helens, a very well-known inn on a lake. This man in World War I had survived a sinking American ship that was sunk by a German submarine. He thought that everything was in his own control and he could take care of himself. And even though they had plenty of time the day the volcano came, they sounded the alarms to get out. Harry did not listen to those alarms. He didn't listen to the advice. He didn't listen to the warnings. He thought he would be okay. And that day, him, his hotel, and whoever was with him was buried in 150 feet of mud and debris. He was never found. The warnings were there for this man. Chose not to listen, and his life went to ruin. I don't think Lot at this point was too far gone to come back. He had been rescued by Abraham. He was there with Abraham for at least a moment. But he chose to ignore it. Chose to go back to where he was. The beginning of chapter 19, we find Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom, welcoming those that would come in. In chapter 18, God and two angels had come to Abraham and told him that they were going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah for the evil that was there. Abraham pleaded with them if they could find so many righteous men, if God would stop it. And God told him if he could find 10 righteous men, he would not destroy the city. Sent those two angels there. And these angels here at the beginning of chapter 19 came to Lot. He welcomed them. He pleaded with them to come and stay at his house with him. And he was going to feed them. He was going to give them a place to sleep so they could depart the next day. And those two angels went with him. The Bible says, right before those angels laid their head down to sleep, the men of the city, young and old, were banging on Lot's door. They were asking for them to come out so they could know them. They wanted to molest them. They wanted to do horrible things to those two men in Lot's house. We find Lot talking to these men of the city outside of his door. And when he was talking to them, he called them brethren. These wicked men of the city he talked to as his friends. He had come to a place in his life where it wasn't such an uncomfortable thing for him to have to deal with. He knew much about the sin in the city, and he called them his brethren. And he talks to these men, and instead of just trying to talk them out of, he says, listen, I don't want to ruin these men's welcome. I don't want to be a bad host. I'll give you my own daughters instead of these men. What a horrible father. What a messed up mind that was for him to offer his own family. But Lot had gone so far. He had been in so deep. There was such a change, a drastic change in his life, that he offered his own family. From that moment, the angels decided to take this into their own hands and to protect him as God had told them to. They blinded all the men outside the house. And they told Lot, they said, tomorrow we're going to destroy this city. I want you to go get your family. I want you to tell them what's going to happen. And Lot went to his family. He went to his daughters and sons-in-law, and he began to tell them that God was going to destroy the city. And the Bible says, as he was speaking those things, that they saw him as one that mocked. They couldn't take him seriously. They could not take any spiritual advice he had seriously. It was for their lives. Not only gone to a place where he was calling these men his friends, but he's to a place where his own family could not take his counsel. His own family could not listen to him. Morning came. Lot had told his wife and his daughters, and he was told that the city was going to be destroyed. And the Bible says that as they were, while they were supposed to be leaving, that they lingered. They couldn't get up the strength in themselves. They could not make themselves leave. The angels had to grab him, his wife, his daughters by the hand and drag them out of the city. They took them out of the city, and they were going to take them up to the top of the mountain. But Lot and his family begged them to let them, to drop them at this certain town, this little village outside of Sodom and Gomorrah that could have been spared. So they left them there at the village, and Lot's wife, after she had been told not to, looked back, and we know the story there. Thrown into a pillar of salt, she was dead. That would have never happened if Lot would not have been in that situation. Not only affected his life, not only affected the respect people had for him, but it affected his wife. She'd lost her life. Him and his daughters, fleeing for their lives, go up to the mountain. They get inside the mountain, and we see Lot here, who was a wealthy man who had everything, to all of his possessions, everything he had gone and destroyed. And he's in a cave. His daughters realize that their husbands were gone. And they decide they still want to have children and have a seed. And they get their own father drunk, commit incest with their father. Lot's life was torn apart. It was one bad thing after the other, after the other, after the other. But if we're to look at the beginning of the story before chapter 13 and then go here, we can ask ourselves this question: how in the world did this happen to Lot? What happened in his life that caused everything just to be a downward spiral, that caused him to fall into sin, that caused him caused his family to fall apart? How in the world did this happen? One small chapter in his life began it all. In chapter 13, we find that a problem arises there at the camp with Lot and Abraham. The Bible says in verse 6, it says, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. These herdsmen had come to a place where they were fighting over a place to give water to the herd. They were fighting over a place for them to be able to feed the herd, and they could not dwell together anymore. And Abraham, being the godly man he was, came to Lot in a peaceful way, and he said, he had a proposition for him. He said, I do not want any strife to be between me and you, Lot. I don't want that to happen. We're family. I want you to look at all this land before you. I want you to take your pick of the land. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you choose the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot was faced with a decision.
And we find the beginning of Lot's decision in verse 10. I think every one of us can go back to a time in our life and say, that decision didn't help me at all. I think each one of us may have several or several times in our life where we knew we made a decision that did not help us at all. And Lot was about to make a decision that would cause his life to go in this downward spiral and eventually to this devastating place. Look at verse 10. It says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other." For this decision that Lot had just made, there is a New Testament scripture that goes right along with this. If you turn to 1 John chapter 2, very familiar. 1 John chapter 2. There are three elements. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, that Lot used to make this decision, I believe. Let's read 1 John chapter 2. Let's read verse 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." First of all, we see that this choice that Lot made was a fleshly choice. It was made with the lust of the flesh. Lot in his flesh saw this land, and he knew that he needed it. Lot knew that if they had this land, they wouldn't thirst anymore. They wouldn't hunger anymore. He might have even thought about that famine that he'd experienced in the land of Canaan earlier. He didn't want that to happen again. He didn't want to have to worry about going back to Egypt. Didn't have to worry about trying to survive and sojourning anywhere. So if I go to this land, I'm going to be fed. If I go to this land, my cattle is going to have their place to eat. If I go to this land, my family is going to prosper. William Barclay summarizes the lust of the flesh very well. He says that to be subject to the flesh's desire is to judge everything by purely material standards. It is to live a life dominated by the senses. It is to be gluttonous in food and luxury, lavish in pleasure, lustful in morals, selfish in the use of possessions, extravagant in the gratification of material desires. The flesh's desire disregards the commandments of God, the judgment of God, the standards of God, and the very existence of God. So the desires of the flesh is that yoke that hangs around our neck, which turns our attention from God to which is merely material, earthly, and worldly. God wants us to have things. God wanted Lot and Abraham both to have land that was going to feed them, have land that they were going to be able to prosper on. God wanted that. But that was the sole reason Lot made the decision was because it was good to his flesh. The motivating decisions was because it was good for him and good for what he needed and good for him being able to prosper. We come to a place in our life where we need to make a decision, and make a decision based on just what we want, and that is the only thing that affects our decision, we're wrong. If we come to a place where we are just feeding our lust of the flesh, we are wrong. Even if it's a good thing that God may have for us, if it's to us to be successful, God wants everyone to be successful, but if your reason for living is success, it's wrong. God wants everyone to have possessions, but if your reason for living is to keep buying one thing after the other, to be better than those around you, it's wrong. God wants you to be popular. God wants people to like you, but if your reason for living is popularity, if your reason for living is to try and make as many friends as you can, if your reason for living is to please others, it's wrong. And Lot here in this decision that he was making was making it on his desires of his flesh. And it led him to an empty life. It wasn't just a fleshly choice, it was an attractive choice. The lust of the eyes. For a man wanting to grow his herd, it looked perfect. For a man wanting to take care of his family, it looked perfect. For a man wanting to prosper, it looked perfect. The opportunity was endless for Lot and his family. Lot saw prosperity in his decision. He's walking by sight. There's a preacher who said those who walk by sight will eventually learn that sight is misleading, and that is very true. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. The devil wants our eyes open to everything that is worldly. The devil wants our eyes open to everything that can attract us away from the things of God, from a life of God. The devil is going to do everything he can to take us away from that. He wants us to cover the things of the world. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 experienced temptation from Satan. Satan was tempting him, and Satan in verse 8 was trying to tempt Jesus through his eyes. Look at Matthew 4 verse 8. It says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. What did Jesus do in that situation? He did not give in. We know that. But Jesus here was through this illustration, through this verse, through this passage, through Satan coming and tempting him, was giving us the very thing that we need to do when we're tempted in by the lust of our eyes. He said there in verse 10, and he said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. If Satan was tempting Jesus in that way, if he was tempting the one that he knew would not give him that temptation, don't you think he's going to try and use that same method on us? He's going to try and use the same thing on us to get us to fall, to get us to get out of the will of God, to get us to make the wrong decision in our life as Lot did. And we need to be willing to say, get thee hence, Satan. And he tells Satan to get as far behind us as we can get him. One of the largest freshwater turtles is called the alligator snapping turtle. It lives mostly in Southeast America, down in Florida and those states around there. It weighs up to 250 pounds. It'll eat anything. It eats mostly fish, but it'll eat anything that will go in its mouth. What that turtle does, he'll go down to the bottom of a pond. He'll rest there at the bottom in the dark water. And he'll open his mouth as wide as he can. And as he's opening his mouth, he has a small pink tongue. And he will let that tongue just go back and forth. And to the fish and to the different things of the water, it looks just like a worm. That turtle is down at the bottom of the water basically fishing for what can come. So the fish, or it even eats baby alligators and things like that. The animals that see that tongue dangling in the water will go down and they'll go get that worm. And as soon as they go in the mouth, the snapping turtle compresses it and holds on to it till it dies. We live in a world full of images. On our way to work, we see billboards every day that are inappropriate. We see billboards advertising things that a Christian has no business having in his or her home. Amen. We can't watch TV without seeing the things that are going to get the lust of our eyes moving. We cannot go anywhere without seeing the attacks that Satan has for our eyes. And Satan is going to dangle those things right in front of us, and they're going to seem like it's not so bad. It's going to seem like something that we can get away with. It's going to seem like something that isn't going to destroy our lives. And being the deceitful devil he is, as soon as we go grab whatever it is, he's going to grab a hold of us and do everything in his power not to let us let go. We cannot live by the sight of our eyes. You see, thirdly tonight, it was a prideful choice. I believe no doubt Lot was looking at this land and thinking, I can be the best. Lot had a lot of riches. He didn't have as much as Abraham did. Because if I take this land is much better than the land that Abraham has. If I have this land, there's a good chance I can have more than Abraham. If I get this land, I can go and maybe work my way up in the city and be a ruler. Lot wanted prosperity. Lot wanted to have all the wealth, all the riches. Lot wanted to
to have the riches of the city. He wanted advancement. He wanted authority. We find Lot in chapter 19 at the gate of the city. When I read some commentators talking about that, they said there's a good chance, by the way that was written, that Lot was part of the government there in the city, like a mayor type. He was welcoming those visitors and helping govern those. As he went out and talked to those men, it was something that he probably did often. But he made this decision based on his prosperity, based on his pride. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to move on for time's sake. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 27. It says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." That verse is telling us that we have nothing to glory of. We can make all these decisions based on our pride. We can make all these decisions based on making ourselves look better in front of others. We can make these decisions to prosper. When it comes down to it, it's nothing. We have nothing to glory of. We have nothing to be proud of. God created us. God created this world. God created everything we have. It's not ours. All the glory belongs to God. As Lot was making this decision, we see that the whole time he was looking in the wrong direction. Back in our text, verse 12, it says, "Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom." We know that Sodom was a wicked city. I believe you could ask someone if they, by the name, if Sodom was a good city, and based on the way many people use it, based on the way it is used, their guess would be no. Sodom was a wicked place. Lot and Abraham were dwelling in the land of Canaan, and the Bible says that the Canaanites were dwelling there around them. And if they hadn't known about Sodom on their own, I'm sure the people of Canaan had talked about it on many occasions. I'm sure they'd heard the people of Canaan talking about how they'd been there, or talking about people they know that'd been there, or talking about the wickedness and the things that come from the city. There is no way that we should believe that Lot didn't know that Sodom was a bad place. He didn't go into Sodom. When he made this decision, the Bible says he just pitched his tent toward it. He just took a little step towards it. But we see that that one step caused him to make another step, to cause another step, till his life went to ruin. The Bible says in Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." It says a blessed man is one that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. A blessed man is one that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. The blessed man is the one that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. That is a blessed man. And Lot, by pitching his tent towards Sodom, was in the way of the ungodly. Lot, by pitching his tent in that direction, was standing with the sinners. It's not a way to have a blessed life. The direction not only affected him forever, not only affected him, but it got into him to a pattern of destruction. I grew up in Missouri, and I spent a lot of my summers working at a camp that our church owned. It was 180 acres, and I did a lot of things. I was a counselor every once in a while. I also did things on the land. I worked with horses. And I remember one night after a service, me and some of the other guys that worked there, some of the teenagers, we went back to the horse barn to do something with the horses. I don't even remember. But I remember as we got back to the horse barn, in our pasture there was a bunch of cows. And we didn't have any cows. We were surrounded by a lot of acres of woods, 180 acre camp. And we go back to that pasture, and we just see about 20 or 30 cows there. Being immature teenage boys, we thought we would take it into our own hands and try and get them off of our land. So we were trying to herd these cows on our own. We would corner them, and they would about run us over. We'd barely survive. But we found out the next day that those cows had come from a farm about a mile away. There was a hole in the fence there, and those cows must have saw some grass on the other side of that fence. And they walked through the fence, and they took a bite. And they probably saw some more grass a little farther on and took another bite. And they saw some more and took another bite and took another bite and took another bite until they found themselves in the pasture on the other side of the woods, nowhere near home. Those cows weren't lost when they first left that fence. They're still pretty close to home. But as they ate and ate and ate, they found themselves a long ways away. You may be pitching your tent towards Sodom tonight, and it may not seem like it's that big of a deal. It may not seem like you're that far from home. It may not seem that you're even that close to Sodom. But we continue to eat the things of this world. We continue to get into different things. We continue to go closer and closer and closer until we find ourselves in destruction as Lot did. Lot chose to move towards Sodom. Lastly tonight, real quick, we see as Lot moved towards Sodom, he wasn't just moving closer to Sodom, but he moved farther from Abraham. Let's go back to this proposition that Abraham had given Lot. He says, Lot, I don't want strife. I don't want trouble between us. I don't want this to continue. So I want to give you your pick of the land. You go this way, I'll go this way. We can separate ourselves. It talks about how the land wasn't fit for them to stay together. They weren't able to do it. The Bible tells us that, but thinking about this and the proposition, and Abraham being the righteous man he was and how he loved Lot as his own son, he was his nephew, I believe if Lot would have asked Abraham if they could work things out for him to stay, that they could have worked something out. You know, Lot knew that Abraham was blessed. Lot knew that God had chosen Abraham for a specific purpose. And Lot chose to leave him. Why would he leave that? The reason he had everything he had was because of Abraham. When he decided to leave Abraham, he was leaving the power of God. Abraham had God's special protection and special blessing. And by Lot removing himself from Abraham, he was removing himself from the power of God. If you're making your way towards Sodom tonight, you're not just making your way towards Sodom, but you are moving away from the presence of God and going to lose the power of God in your life. He wasn't just leaving the power of God, he was separating himself from the right influence. Abraham was a righteous man. Abraham was living a life pleasing to God. We see Abraham over and over again building altars. In chapter 13, he built two altars. That was a good influence for Lot. But by Lot making that decision to leave, he was separating himself from that. He was ignoring the help of God as well. We don't see anywhere in this passage. All we see is Lot looked, he saw, he wanted it, and he took it. We don't see Lot building any altars for himself. We don't see Lot trying to ask God the right direction. He ignored it completely. Lot chose. Lot got closer and closer to Sodom. And it led to destruction. That's his story. An incredible beginning and a horrible ending. All because of a decision. One chapter in his life. How's your story tonight? We're all blessed. We're in church tonight. We're here. We're alive. Have any of us pitched our tent towards Sodom? I don't see this certain problem with this habit in my life. I know it may not be what I may it's preached against, and I know it may not be something that Christians should do, but it's not something that is ruining my life. Lot probably thought the same thing. I know that the music I listen to and the shows I watch, I know those magazines and those that I read and those websites that I go to, I know they're not the best thing. I know it's worldly. I know it may not be right. It's going to take us one step after another step after another step to a life of destruction. this desire of my eyes that I have, it, yeah, it's bad. And I know that Christians should not be looking at this type of thing. I know that Christians should not be flirting with another man or another woman that are married. I know that I shouldn't be living this life of fornication. I know I shouldn't have this habit in my life. I know I shouldn't have this in my life. It's not that bad. It's going to get us farther from God. It's going to get us deeper in the gates. Until one day you find yourself surrounded with no way out. Has the direction that you're headed taken you from your relationship with God? Lot had a chance to return, but he did nothing. Kept taking steps toward the other direction. Closing night, let's turn a few chapters ahead of us. Chapter 32 of Genesis. In this passage, we find Lot's second cousin, Abraham's grandson, Jacob. We know early on in life of Jacob, he made mistakes. He talked his brother into selling him his birthright. He and his mother went and deceived his father, trying to get the blessing. Jacob, at this point, he was fearing for his life. Esau was mad. Esau was angry that Jacob had stolen this blessing and had deceived him into taking his birthright. And he was fearing for his life. And early in chapter 32, he was praying and asking God for help and for strength and asking God to spare his life that Esau wouldn't kill him. We find him here in chapter 32, verse 24, by himself. Let's read this. It says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of the day." We see later on this man that was wrestling with Jacob was God. The Bible says they wrestled all night. It says that when he saw that he prevailed not against him, when God saw that Jacob was not giving up, he touched his hand, the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And Jacob continued to hold on. Jacob knew that this was nobody else than God. And Jacob and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And Jacob said it. And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Jacob made mistakes. Jacob was fearing for his life. Jacob was running from his brother. Jacob had lied. He had deceived his father. But Jacob came to a place here in his life with that desire of his flesh to have that birthright, with that desire of his eyes and of his pride to have the blessing, to be as good as he can be. All went away. And the only thing he wanted was God's blessing. Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you give me your power. I'm not going to let you go. I don't care about the rest of the things of this world. All I want is your power." He did not want to go one more step in his life without God's hand in his life. Lot could have made that decision. Lot in chapter 13 was given that choice. But he wanted things for himself. And it led to a life of destruction. If you're here tonight, and you want your life to be all that God can have it to be, and you're in trouble, you're in sin, maybe you're just a little bit towards Sodom, it's not too late. Get a hold of God. Do not let him go until you get his blessing. Let's bow your head and close your eyes. Wednesday nights, we don't have a musical invitation, but the altar's always open. Lot's story could have been much different. The story looked like it was headed in a good direction. One chapter in his life started a downward spiral. What chapter are you living right now?
Lord, we love you, God. Thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the story of Lot that you've given us. And I pray, God, you'd help us tonight to do everything we can to live right for you. Pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, not to make decisions based on desire of our flesh or the lust of our eyes or, Lord, on our pride. Lord, not to make a decision that, Lord, we're going to continue to keep moving towards the world. Lord, not to make a decision where we're moving away from you. Lord, I pray that the sole purpose of our life would be to have your blessings. Our sole desire would be to have your power in our life. Lord, bless us tonight as we leave here. Give us safety and bring us back to our places on Sunday. We ask this in your name. Amen.